Kedar Eliezer, Kedar Eliezer, the 16th chapter, Perek Tet Zayin. We had seen in the last chapter about how a person has to choose sometimes in life whether he's going to go the route of Tzedek, the route of Chesed. Now, our chapter begins with concepts that we should be familiar with from Pirkei Avot. Our chapter begins on Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omed. The world stands on three things. Oh, what page is it? Because they asked me one, I'll check. Page, sorry. Chapter 16 in the Eshkol editions, it's page Memches 48. Memchet. Chapter 16 in the Eshkol editions, page Memchet. Al Shelosha Devarim Ha'olam Omed. The world stands on three things, and we know this from the Mishnah and Avos, and we're going to have to ask ourselves, what does it mean that this is what the world stands on? And as we continue, hopefully that will be clarified. Al HaTorah Ve'al HaAvodah Ve'al Gemilut Chasadim. The three things that sustain the world are Torah, Avoda, service, work, and Gmilut Chasadim. Gmilut Chasadim, we've already discussed, is going beyond the call of duty, doing extra acts of kindness. Ala Torah Minayin, how do we know that Torah is one of the things that sustain the world? Dichtir, as the verse states, Koma Hashem, so says Hashem, In lo v'riti, yomam v'layla, if not for my treaty, my pact that covers day and night, Chukot Shamayim also something. I wouldn't have established the laws of day and night, I wouldn't have established this world. I made a pact with you about something by day and night. What pact did God make with us about day and night? V'chatuv v'chadomeh, we have another verse that teaches us, Lo yamush sefer Torah zeni picha, the Torah should not leave one's mouth, meaning we should constantly be versed in Torah. V'agita bo yomam v'layla, you should be discussing, learning Torah day and night. So that's the pact that God made with us about day and night. We're supposed to be learning day and night. A person is supposed to learn by day, a person is supposed to learn by night. So even if a person is going to be very busy all day, he should at least say one thing, learn one thing. That's what I always tell guys. You're leaving the mahom, so one thing you should take upon yourself. You should have what I call sedo yareg val yavo, a set learning, small amount of learning, even two halachos a day that you say, this I don't miss a day. Throughout my life, I will not miss a day that I do this. What is that learning? You decide. You could decide you learn a Mishnah a day, five Tzukim a day, two Halachas and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, should be something small. But there should be something every day that you don't lose out. And if you really feel like taking something upon yourself, the idea, you should have a small thing by day and a small thing by night. And if a person could, then it's very good to have something in the morning when you start your day and at night when you end your day. But a person has to be practical. What works? You have to choose times that will work and choose small amounts that will work. And that, a person should ensure that regardless what happens on the busiest day of his life, the day he gets married, the day he marries off his children, whatever it is, he never misses that learning. That, I think that's one of the things every person should take upon himself. So Torah is the thing that God made a pact day and night with us. He said we're supposed to learn Torah day and night. And God said, if not for that pact, I wouldn't have created the world. So that's one of the things that sustain the world. Al avodah, work, what work are we talking about? So ordinarily when we discuss avodah, when we discuss work, we think of the service in the Beis HaMikdash. And over here the Medrash is going to teach us something different. The verse states, Dichtiv, Utfilat Yesharim Ritzono, the prayer of those who are Yesharim, who are straight, Ritzono is what attains God's goodwill. And probably means that it's God's will that maintains the world. So we want to stay, so to speak, in God's goodwill. So the Pasuk is telling us that prayer from straight people maintains God's goodwill with the world. Now we should notice this Pasuk. Yesharim, what does it mean to be a straight person? We think that when we discuss a straight person, so that's someone that he chooses the Torah's path and he's straight. And if he sees someone that's a little different than him, he says, oh no, you're off the path. And it's very interesting, we're ending the book of Bereishis next week. And the book of Bereishis is referred to, the whole Sefer Torah is referred to Sefer HaYashar, straight book. So you read that and you think, must be one path. The Netziv, in his introduction to the Torah, to his explanation on the Torah, his introduction to Sefer Bereishis, he says, the Avos, our forefathers, were called Yesharim, people who were straight. And the reason they were called Yesharim, says the Netziv, is because they were straight in their service of Hashem, and they were so straight that they understood that there's more than one path in the service of Hashem. And when they saw someone else who was serving Hashem differently than them, they didn't look at them and say, you're not Bikoris, you're someone who's off the path of the Torah. They said, no, there are many ways in serving Hashem. I was always glad I went to a high school that was called Sha'arei Torah, the gates of Torah, because there's more than one gate, there's more than one path. The Gra explains in Mishlei that the job of the prophet in ancient times, he was there to help people in the service of Hashem. And every person would come to the prophet, and the prophet, being connected with God, would be able to tell the person, you know, according to your strength, according to your traits, your way in the service of Hashem is such and such. We don't all have to fit on the same path. The Torah is very broad. Within the laws, within the 613 laws and the tradition that we have, there are paths for everyone. Everyone has their strength, and everyone has their way in the service of Hashem. When we stopped having prophets in the period of the Second Temple, that's when we started having people looking at one another and saying, you're not Bikoris. You're not fitting into the guidelines of the Torah, because you're not serving God the way I think you should serve God. And what the Netziv teaches us is that the exact opposite is true. When a person is really straight, when a person is like the forefathers, like the Avos, then he can handle that other people are serving Hashem differently than him, and recognize that there's godliness in that as well. So the pasuk is telling us, Tfilat Yesharim Retzono, the prayer of straight people is the goodwill of Hashem. It's not coming to tell us that a person is supposed to be narrow in his straightness, but a person is supposed to be straight, and when he's straight, he will recognize that he's not the only one that's straight. There are others who could be straight, even though they're not going in his exact path. What is the service of Hashem? It says we have to, one of the things that the world stands on is the work that we do before Hashem. What is that? Zot tfilah, that's prayer. Notice prayer is called work. Guys very often come to the machon and they say, I don't understand, I come to shul and everyone's, they're giving lip service, blah, 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 they're finished. What kind of intent do they have? It's true, and it's new to you, so then it's much easier to focus on each word. But everyone notices that as you start learning the prayer, and as it starts becoming second nature to you, it starts becoming more and more difficult to focus because you know the words that are coming up. And that's natural. And prayer is called work. Yeah, it's work. It's avodah shebalev. It's the work that's in our heart. And the person has to work to focus. And that is the work, that is the service that we have today before Hashem. Sheken matzinu b'Daniel. How do we know that the prayer is called avodah, work, labor, service before our Creator? As we find in Daniel, Damali Dal Yavesh, the King Darius told Daniel, Elahach Diam Falach Le Bitidira, when Darius sent Daniel into the lion's den, he told him, the God that you serve, that you work before so frequently, should save you from the lions. And then he threw him into the lion's den. So he was a good King Darius. He really didn't want Daniel to die. He meant what he said. But what does it mean that Daniel was working before his Creator? There's no service out in Babylon. He couldn't have brought sacrifices in Babylon. From there we derive the Chiyesh Avodah Bevavel. Was there any possibility to do the work, the service of the temple in Babylon? Elazot Tila. From here we see that the prayer is called work, service before Hashem. Vazmilut Chasadim. What is the kindness that God wants us to do? An example of that is Lachatanim. Kindness to the chatanim, to the bride. Minayin lemedim, where do we derive this? Mekadosh Baruch Hu, from God Himself. Shehu v'atzmo gamal chesed l'adam u'lezo. Thank you. That God did kindness to Adam and his helper, to Adam and Eve.
אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא למלאכי אשרת, God said to the angels, בוא ונגמול חסד לאדם לזור. Let's do kindness to Adam and his helper, to Adam and Eve. וירד הקדוש ברוך הוא למלאכי אשרת לגמול חסד לאדם לזור. God and his angels came down to do kindness with Adam and his helper. אמר הקדוש ברוך הוא, God said, חביבה לפני גמילות חסדים. I love kindness. מזבחים ועולות, I love it more than the sacrifices שעתידים ישראל להקריב לפני על גבי המזבח, that the Jews will bring before me on the altar. שנאמר, as the verse states, כי חסד חפצתי ולא זבח. God says, I much rather you guys do kindness with one another than you bring sacrifices. רבי יוסי אומר, רבי יוסי תורס, מניין אנו למדים שבעת ימי המשתה. Where do we derive this concept of 7 days of party? We know that in Judaism, when a guy gets married, so if he's a virgin, or his wife is a virgin, then we have Sheva Brachos. We have 7 days of festivities. This is something you guys should know. Very often a Baal Tshuva marries a Baalas Tshuva, and they're both not virgins, so then they don't have Sheva Brachos. And you cannot make the blessings of Sheva Brachos. And you cannot rely on the rabbis to know this. We had a guy from the Machon once that a rabbi came to him and said, I want to make Sheva Brachos for you. So the guy calls me up and he says, as far as I understood the halachos, I only have Sheva Brachos the day of the wedding, because in order for a person to have Sheva Brachos, either he or the Kala have to be a virgin. And neither one were, which is very common in the Machon. So you guys have to know this has halachic implications. One halachic implication is that you only have Sheva Brachos the very day that you get married. So make your wedding after sunset. Because if you make your wedding before sunset, then effectively after sunset, meaning the continuation of the wedding, is the next day. And at benching at the wedding, you cannot make Sheva Brachos. You cannot make those special 7 blessings. So if you guys want to have Sheva Brachos at your wedding, and everyone does, so then everyone has Sheva Brachos under the chuppah. But if you want to have Sheva Brachos at benching, and you should want to have Sheva Brachos at benching, because you don't want everyone to know what's going on, it's no one else's business, so then make sure that your weddings are after Shkia. Because unless one of you is a virgin, which you might not know. Well, you know about yourself, but about your kala, well. So I'm telling you something practical. Yeah. That's 3 days after. You're not supposed to do work. You're supposed to be home. Even a widower is supposed to be there. So where do we derive this concept of 7 days of party that we have, that we make 7 special blessings during the benching? Where do we derive this concept from? Miyakov Avinu, from Jacob, our forefather, Kshinasat Leah. When Jacob married Leah, Asashi Vati Me'amishteh, he made 7 days of party. Shne'emar, as the verse states, Malei Shavu Azot. Laban told Jacob, he said, Yaakov, you know what? You're right. I'll let you marry my other daughter, Rachel, like I promised you. I tricked you, fine. But finish off the week with Leah. Have your party with Leah for a week, and then I'll let you marry the other daughter. From here we see that it's an ancient concept to have a week of party after the wedding. And all the people of Aram, all these Armenians, gathered to do kindness with Jacob, to party with him. Shneimar, as the verse states, Vayasof Levan, Kon Shem HaKom Vayas Mishteh. Laban gathered all the men of the area, and he made a party in honor of the wedding of Yaakov, Jacob. Amalem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, so to speak, said to these people of Aram, Atem Gamaltem Chesed Im Yaakov Avdi, you did kindness with Jacob, who is my faithful servant. Ani Gmol V'Tem Tzarchem, I will pay you back, I will give your wages, Ba'olam Hazeh, in this world. Because I don't want to have evildoers having merit in the world to come. This is an important concept. The Torah tells us one of the traits of God is Umshalem lesonav el panav lehavido. God pays the people that he hates to their face, and really it's to their loss. Meaning, if a person, let's say we have a man like Esau, he's a murderer, he's a thief, he's done every bad thing that there is to do. Any bad thing on the books, he's done. So God says, you know what? Esau has a certain trait. He has a certain merit. He was very good to his father. He did kibud av v'aim. He honored his father the way he should. So up in heaven, he's got merit. I don't want that when he comes to heaven, he's going to have a claim. You know, I was a good guy. I served my father. So God says, you know what I'm going to do? Esau, I'm going to give you all the things I owe you in this world. I'll make you wealthy. I'll make you successful. I'll make things good for you. So that's one of the things that God does in this world. That's one of the understandings we have as to why sometimes you see someone who does evil, someone who does bad, and things are going good for them. Because God says, yeah, let them enjoy this world, so in the world to come I won't have to pay more. And that's what happened here. God says, these Armenians, the people of Aram, they did this kindness to Jacob. I owe them something for that. So I'll give it to them in this world. This way I don't have to pay them back in the world to come. Yeah. Where does it say it? What are we saying? Okay. What does the beginning of the Mishnah say? Elu Dvarim She Adam. What does Adam mean? The Pasuk says, right? The Mishnah already begins by saying it refers to Jews. When the Mishnah says Ha-Adam, then it's referring to mankind. Then it encompasses non-Jews as well. When the Mishnah says Adam, man, then it's referring to Jews. Not only the Mishnah, Tanakh as well. About Tanakh, so the Gemara derives that. The Gemara derives it from a verse in Yechezkel and Ezekiel that says, Atem tzoni tzon mariti, Adam atem. Ezekiel, the prophet in Yechezkel says, you are Adam. And here the prophet revealed to us that God says the word Adam doesn't just mean man. It means man in his highest form, and it means a man and his wife. It means a Jewish man and his wife. That's the term Adam, man in his highest form. But Ha-Adam refers to mankind, then it encompasses non-Jews. The Teferis Yisrael throughout Pirkei Avos points out that this applies to our sages' terminology as well. That the Mishnayos in Pirkei Avos, when it says Chaviv Ha-Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, mankind, Chaviv Ha-Adam, is favorable because it was created in God's fashion. So that's referring to all of mankind. When it speaks about the Jewish people, then it speaks about Adam. Yeah?
The same story about how
No.
So the prosecutor used this line of Gemara that for Jews you call Adam, but for non-Jews you don't call them Adam. And he said, therefore I don't consider them people, therefore they don't behave the same thing. So the rabbi gets up and defends him, and he says, it says a non-Jew, it's not referring to this, but he says, this is how do you explain to somebody who doesn't. That is, there's a non-Jew who is in trouble. Who helps him out? Maybe his close family. No. If he's an important man, he's like the mayor of the city, so then like the whole area will probably help him out. He's the governor, right? But maybe the most important, or maybe the whole country will help him out. The Jews, here's a person who's like he's a poor guy, he doesn't have a lot of high standing, and the whole Jewish community across the whole world comes to help him out. That's what it's called.
Very nice. Back to Pirkei Rav Lezer. So God says, I owe the people of Aram, they did kindness to Yaakov, and God says I'll pay them back. The prophet in Melachim describes that there was a great general who fought tremendous wars for the people of Aram, and they were successful. And this is how Aram got their payback, which has to make us wonder. Generations had passed, talking about hundreds of years, maybe even over 1,000 years since Yaakov to this period, and still this is considered that God paid back the people of Aram. So if we go with the concept of Gilgul, that the souls came back and these souls got paid back, so that's an easy way to answer it. But if we don't work with that concept, so we have to ask ourselves, how does this work? You have one generation doing kindness to Yaakov, and generations later, hundreds of years later, their children are successful in wars, and God says, I paid them back. How does that work? So we'll have to leave that as a question for now. But something to think about. Rabbi Shmaya Omer, Katav Avraham Kol Asholo LeYitzchak Yerusha. Abraham wrote off all his wealth to his son Isaac as an inheritance. He said, you know, my son Yitzchak is getting all of my wealth. V'natav Aktav, he took this contract, and he gave it to Eliezer, his servant, he should go and show it off in his father's family, throughout his family, in order to get a girl for a son Yitzchak. Umikriyat al bat charan malach shiva sayom, from where Eliezer was leaving from Avram's hometown, Kiryat Arba, till Haran was 17 days' journey. Uvshaloshot ba'evid ad Haran. And Eliezer, the servant, did this whole journey in 3 hours. Vayatameh v'libov omer, and he wondered to himself. He said, Ayom yatsati, today I left Kiryat Arba, vayom bati, I made it in one day, shnemar v'avo yom lain, as he stated. He said, I made it today in one day, I made it here to the well. Rabbi Abahu Amar Ratzah Kadosh Hu Ligmor Chesed Yitzchak. Rabbi Abahu explained, God wanted to do kindness with Yitzchak. V'shalach malach lifnei Eliezer Eved Avraham, sent an angel before Eliezer, mikpitzah lo ha-derech, and he had kfitzat ha-derech. What's kfitzat ha-derech? That God makes it that righteous people, they could, so to speak, skip the path. They could make it in a short time, from one place to the next. Uvan v'shalosh shot ha-eved l'charon, and in 3 hours he made it to Haran. God saw that there was this great girl who's considered like the daughter of kings. Now here the Medrash teaches us that Besuel was the king of Aram. Rivka was a princess. So what's a princess going out to draw water? You guys ever know that? Rivka was a princess, that her father Besuel was king? Here the Medrash tells her. What? Okay, good question.
Okay.
So God saw to it that this daughter, this princess, Rivka, who never went out to draw water, would go out yasat lishov mayim botasha. That hour when Eliezer shows up to the well, for some reason Rivka goes out to draw water. Vanara shelo ida yodat ma'ish. And this girl that didn't know who this person is, didn't know who Yitzchak is, kibla leha, she accepted upon herself lizdavga liyitzchak, to marry Yitzchak, which is a little bit unusual. Maybe the guy has pimples all over. Maybe he's got boils. Maybe he's got bad breath. And these are examples of the Gemara gives, that a woman, when you date a person, you should check that there aren't things that are going to bother you in the long term. It's one of the reasons you're not supposed to marry a person without seeing them. You have to ensure that the person looks pleasant to you. So here she is, she's agreeing to marry a person she's never seen. Lama, why did God do this, that if things worked out this way? That from the time she was in her mother's womb, she was really fit for Yitzchak, as God had declared. God, so to speak, weighs and figures out who's supposed to come together from the time that they're almost nothing, from the time they're hevel. When a person is formed, he starts from almost nothing. Vanu Lavanu Tuel and Lavan and Besuel exclaimed, Vamru Hoil Viyasa Devar Mipiyak Vuad. They said, being that we see that God caused this to happen, in Enanu Yichlim Nakev, we can't detain it, must be this supposed to happen. Shneimal, the verse states, Vyan Lavanu Tuel, Vyamru Mehashim Yasa Devar. They both exclaimed, we see that God caused this to happen. Hinei Rivka's Vanecha, behold, our princess Rivka is before you, kach valech, take her and go. Hishkim baboker, he arose in the morning, v'ra'ah ha-malach omedu mantima b'chutz. He saw his limousine service, the angels waiting outside. Eliezer wakes up in the morning, and there's the angel waiting outside for him to go. Amar lahem, al tachu oti. And then, Lavan and Besuel start telling him, wait, she's a young girl, give her a year, let her prepare. So Eliezer says, don't detain me, Vashem tzech baki, God thought that I was successful. Hareu b'chutz mantim li, my angel's waiting outside for me, I can't wait here. V'achlu v'shatu m'mishtei Rivka, and everyone ate and drank from the party they made for Rivka, when Rivka was going to depart. Shnemar, as the verse states, v'achlu v'ishtu hu v'anashim shalimo. They all ate, they had a party, and here we have a source for a going away party. People always ask, what are you doing, what are you making a party when someone leaves? Well, you're happy he's leaving. So here we see, you know, you want to leave out of a good feeling, you make a going away party. So they made Rivka a going away party. And he told them, don't detain me, now it's time to go, I can't stay long at the party. And just like we have a chazan standing and blessing the kala b'chupata at her chuppah, this is a custom, you guys should know, when you're going to be chazanim, you take a friend and you ask him to stand by the chuppah. And that's what we bless the Kala as she approaches and surrounds the Chasam 7 times. We sing in her honor and we bless her. Nivan Siach, Shoshan Chochim. You guys probably know the song. If not, we'll learn it one of these Thursday nights. So, Kach Amdu V'chut Rivka. So, too, they stood and they blessed Rivka. And this is an ancient custom. The ancient custom, the Badek, and what we do today, Right? The chassan goes and covers the kala. This custom goes back to this story with Rivka. When Rebecca was leaving her family, they all blessed her and said, you should multiply, you should have tens of thousands, and they sent her off to get married. And from there comes the custom that historically, before a kala would go to her chassan, the rabbis would stand and bless her, the rabbis, not the chassan, not the parents, the rabbis would stand and bless her, and then she'd walk off to the chuppah. And then the custom evolved, so today we have that the chassan comes and covers her with the veil. But the original custom was that the chassan wasn't the one who covered her with the veil, but rather the rabbis would bless her there before she went to the chuppah. And this comes from this, that Rivka, Rebecca, was blessed before she went off to marry Isaac, Yitzchak. Shnemaris, the verse states, Vayvachut Yivchka Vayom Hula, etc. They blessed Rivka and they told her the blessings. The Shishot Vayom Yatavid Mecharan, 6 hours into the day, meaning at midday, at noon, the servant left Charan. Velakashat Yivchavit Vayom Yiniktai, took Rebecca and her wet nurse, Devorah. He saddled them on the camels, and because God didn't want this servant to be alone with Rebecca at night, God saw to it that he made a quick journey of 3 hours, and in 3 hours he did 17 days journey. He arrived at Hebron, time for praying mincha. As the servant approaches, he's coming to Hebron. Yitzchak is going out to pray mincha. Shneimar, as the verse states, Yitzchak v'soch v'sadeh. Yitzchak went out to speak in the field. Ve'en sicha, when the pasuk discusses speech, it means tfila, ela tfila. Shneimar, tfila la'anik yatov, v'yifnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Rabbi Shmuel tells us the following. Amar Avraham Yitzchak beno. Abraham turned to Isaac, and he said to him, Ha'eved hazeh, the servant, Eliezer, he's been alone with this girl. Chashud ala avirotu. We have to suspect that he's done something improper. Umilma biyado. And we know that he's a cunning person, we have to worry about it. Shneimar, as the verse states, Kenan biyado mozne milma lashok ahev. The Kenanites have a trait, it's well known that when they have the scale in their hands, they're cunning and they like cheating in business. Ve'ei shema naga batino. Be careful, watch out, lest he touched the pipe. The sino is really the hose. Meaning, we view the Jewish lineage like water running through a hose. Maybe he impurified the passageway. Maybe you shouldn't marry her. Meaning, we know Rivka's a good person, but we don't know what happened here. Ela haveta nara o ela. Take the girl into the tent, v'otzed betuleh ba'etzba, im tzorah b'tuleh. With your finger and sure, take out the hymen to make sure that she's pure, that she still has a full hymen. Harei lecha mipi hazvura. And I'm telling you then, if you know that she's pure, you know that she's chosen for you, that God chose her and this is to be your wife. Hechnisa o'ela v'otzed betuleh ba'etzba. He took her into the tent and did what his father told him. Ve'era otan le'avraham aviv, and he didn't know what he was talking about. He's never been married. So he showed what he found, meaning he came out with, I don't know exactly what he showed his father. And afterwards he took her for a wife. It's possible that he showed his father the blood that was there, because there's every woman, when she has her period, she has to become clean from the period. And she checks herself to make sure she's clean. And she checks herself for 7 days to ensure that 7 days she's clean from her period, and then she could go to the mikvah. Now, the rabbis have a tradition that they could look at a cloth and see a stain on a cloth and tell you whether that stain is blood or not. And they could see whether it's human blood or not. And some rabbis can see whether it's blood from the tearing of the hymen, or it's blood from the period, or it's blood from a wound, even though they're all human blood. This is a tradition that we have going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, going back to Moses. The Gemara records a funny story that once one of the Roman women wanted to test the rabbis. So she took a louse and killed it and squeezed out the blood on a piece of cloth and sent it to the rabbi and said, Rabbi, tell me, what is that? I found this stain. I'm wondering if it's pure, if it's not pure. Am I clean? Am I not clean? The rabbi looked at him, scratched his head, and he looked, and he looked, and he looked, and he didn't have such a good tradition. He couldn't figure it out. So he said, I don't know what to tell her. But it's not proper, such an important woman, I should send her back without any answer. So he told the servant, here's a gold comb that cleans out lice. Send it back to her. Bring her a gift. I have no answer for her. Don't tell her anything. Just give her the comb. So the servant takes the comb and he brings it to this Roman, this important Roman woman. When she gets this comb that's used to clean out lice, he says, wow, these rabbis, God is with them. They know everything. So the Gemara records that the rabbi didn't know. He didn't know that she was testing him. But there's a famous story that Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, that one young guy wanted to test him once, said maybe the rabbi, maybe he doesn't really know. So he took a pigeon and he slaughtered it, and he took a little bit of the blood and he put it on a piece of cloth, and he brought it to Rabbi Eliyahu and he said, is this okay? And Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu looked at it and he looked at the young man and he said, you have to do tshuva, young man. I could tell you that guys very often after they get married come to me with questions. And a young man came to me after his wedding and he brought me something, and I didn't know it. I took it to Rabbi Eliyahu, Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu. I brought him the cloth and he didn't come to the door. His wife came to the door and said, look, it's for a young guy, he's a young chassan, I need the answer now. They need the answer today. So she comes back and she says, it's good. So I know a little bit about cloth. So I said, why is it good? Is it because it's really from the hymen? Meaning, is it really not blood from the period? So she went back in and she asked the rabbi, and she came back and she said, no, that's not from that. It's not from the period. There's a small little pimple that touched that, and that's where it's from. So how did he know that? I don't know how he knew that. But the rabbis have a tradition, so it could be that that's what Yitzchak showed Avram here. That Yitzchak showed Avram the blood and told him, can you tell from this blood? Is she okay? Is she not okay? Could be. The ancient custom was, when a couple got married, so they'd have a cloth on the bed the first night, and that cloth would be kept by her family as proof that she was a virgin when they got married. That was ancient, before the Torah was given. This is the way it was accepted, that if he ever had a claim, the family could always come back and say, here's the cloth, you're a liar. The tradition goes so far back that they'd have a closed room where the couple would go into, and before the husband was allowed to go into the room, they'd search him, they'd frisk him, to make sure he didn't have another cloth, that he wouldn't cheat and walk out the next morning and say it's clean. So they frisked him to make sure that he didn't have another cloth. They'd make sure there was only one cloth there, so he wouldn't be able to lie. But anyways, who knows what exactly happened here? This is a medrash. I don't know. Let's continue now.
See the
No.
What are they dead?
That's for a different class. When you'll be a chassan, then you'll have
no,
a class
no,
on
no.
it.
The question is that Beis Din always have on the dead, the chassan can go to them.
So that's ancient. That's no longer relevant.
Not seen.
No. Maybe in Ethiopia. Not here. We will come to it in Mir Hashem in about 8 months. And when we learn the Parsha, so we will look at it. If you want, you could look up Parsha's Kisetze in the class there.
And
I think
one,
we dealt with
I
it online.
Why especially Betin is the seat of this day? And they said because
I think the person got it a little backwards. The person told you there is a Gemara that says something similar, not exactly that. Shneimar, as the verse states, Vayei Yitzchak ha'ol asara imo, that Yitzchak first brought her to the tent and then he took her and loved her. So there was a two stage process here, and this is how the Midrash breaks it down. Shneimtet Shneimar, he found her to be whole, pure, kesarai, more like Sarah, his mother. Kol kvudam bat melech pnima. The honor of the princess, the daughter of a king, is that she's inside, and that's the honor that Rivka helped herself, that she wasn't seen outside all the time, and that's the honor that we would like to give every Jewish woman, that she doesn't have to be outside. You know, it's problematic that women are out in the workforce. In ancient times, women also used to work, but they were able to work in a modest fashion that they didn't have to constantly rub shoulders with men. Obviously I mean rub shoulders figuratively. It isn't ideal, the situation today, that women are out there and as secretaries and and they can't work out of the home. The ideal is that when a woman could work out of a modest area where she doesn't have to constantly meet with men. So Rivka was able to have that. And when Yitzhak had such a modest, pious wife, so he was consoled after his mother. And this is the ancient custom that they would do like Yitzhak, so they wouldn't have any doubt. As we discussed a minute ago, that the ancient custom was to have proof that the girl was a virgin when she got married. The eldest servant in Avram's home was his servant Eliezer. And where did Avram get such a servant from? Thank you. Doesn't matter, When Avram was thrown into a burning furnace and he walked out alive and everyone saw this great miracle, all the great people of the generation gave him gifts. And even Nimrod, this wicked king who threw him into the furnace, he stood up. The Chatavet of Eliezer Avram. He rode over his servant Eliezer to Avram. Nimrod had a special servant named Eliezer, and he gave that servant over to Avram. Ukshegamal Chesed in Yitzchak Beno. And when Eliezer did such a good job of kindness for Yitzchak, Avram's son, Hotziol Echirut, they gave Eliezer his freedom. Menatan Lo Hakadosh Baruch Hu Schaor Ba'olam Hazeh. And God gave him his reward, his pay, his wages in this world, so he wouldn't have wages in the world to come. And God established him as king. Eliezer, the servant of Avram, is the famous king Og. Gentlemen, ordinarily we learn a whole chapter. This chapter is long. You guys want to continue or break it into two? How many people want to stop here? How many people want to continue? Yeah. So let's again, everyone has to vote one way or the other. How many people want to stop here? How many people want to continue?
I have either way.
Because it's another 3-4 minutes, so he finished the chapter. We'll just finish it. Rabbi Omer, Shivat Yomei Meshtei Ma'inan Lemidim. Rabbi says, from where do we know this concept of 7 days of partying that we do for a chasen mishimshon? We derive it from Samson. That Samson went down to Philistine territory, took a wife, and made 7 days of a party after he married her. It says that when they saw Samson coming to Philistine territory, they gave him friends to be with him. What does it mean to be with him? To eat and drink and party with him. As we see that Samson told them, "Achuda na lachem chida." I want to give you guys a riddle. Uchtiv, and then the verse says, "V'lo yachlu lagid achida shlosh yamim." They couldn't tell the riddle for 3 days, and by the seventh day, then they found out the riddle from asking Samson's wife. So we see that there's 7 days of party. Kechatan domei lamelech. The chasen, the groom, is like a king. Ma melech eno yitzel hashuk levado, just like a king doesn't walk out to the marketplace alone. Kach echatan eno yitzel hashuk levado. A chasen shouldn't be walking around alone. Ma melech levesh bigdei chavod, just like a king wears royal clothing, honorable clothing. Kach echatan levesh bigdei chavod. Kol shivat imam mishteh. All 7 days, the chasen is supposed to wear honorable clothing. Remember this. I get very upset. I see guys, they get married, and then they're walking around in jeans the next day. What do you mean? You're supposed to walk around like Shabbos clothing, like Rosh Chodesh clothing. After you get married, you have 7 days, not only of partying, but 7 days where you're supposed to be wearing honorable clothing. 7 days where you invest the time to form special bonds with your wife. You invest the whole first year and then your whole life. But it works in ways. The first 7 days have their level. If you guys walk around like king and queen, you don't walk around alone. You should be together all 7 days. Then the first 30 days, where you have to be extra careful to invest in the relationship. And then the first year, where you're not allowed to spend the night out of the house. And then the rest of your life, where you invest in building the relationship. So here the Medrash says, a chasen, a groom, is like a king. He should be wearing honorable clothing. Ma melech hakol mekalsin oto, just like king, everyone praises him. Kach echatan hakol mekalsin oto, kol shvat mehem shteh, so too the groom. Everyone praises him all 7 days of the party. Guys, remember that? When you're asked to speak at a friend's sheva brachos, you're supposed to give him praise, not make jokes at his expense, God forbid. Your job when you're speaking is to praise him. That's what's supposed to happen at these parties during the 7 days. Supposed to talk divrei Torah and praise the chasen and kala. this also helps build the relationship. It helps them admire one another. Ma melech panav mirot kor rachama, just like the king, his face shines like the sun. Kach echatan, so too the chasan, panav mirot kor rachama, his face shines like the sun. Shneimar, v'hu kechatan yasem chupato, as the verse states, the sun is comparable to a groom walking out of the chuppah. I don't want to end on a sad note, but we do have to be a little bit practical. You should know that it is not uncommon that couples have their first fight during Sheva Brachos. But the chasan is supposed to be like the chasan, like the sun, shining and happy. Mm-hmm. But if you end up having your first fight during Sheva Brachos, you should still be happy and shining, because it's perfectly normal. Okay.